I'm Sarah Brummett, and I direct our executive committee for the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention.
So what inspired you to get into the mental health field?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, like many folks in the field of suicide prevention, my journey kind of came with some twists and turns. I actually started out in the mental health field with a, you know, professional degree in psychology, went into the practice of law for a few years and just needed a switch. And there was an opening in Colorado's Office of Suicide Prevention that really, you know, interested me and drew me in. Also, like a lot of folks in the field, suicide has touched me personally and affected people that I care about. And so it's also a personal issue for me. But yeah.
Yeah, can you tell me about the mission of the Action Alliance?
Of course, I would be happy to. So the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention, or the Action Alliance, is a nonpartisan, independent, public-private partnership for suicide prevention. So really, our focus is to bring together the best thinking and resources from public and private sectors to advance the goals and objectives of the National Strategy for Suicide Prevention, which is really the roadmap for a comprehensive approach to preventing suicide. And so at its core, you know, the Action Alliance is responsible for setting that shared vision and approach for kind of supporting that comprehensive vision to build and scale and strengthen our country's approach to suicide and preventing that.
Yeah, with that roadmap, there is so many people working on it and talking about it and all that. What was the process like to help be a part of that?
Yeah, so this is actually the country's third national strategy, and the creation process has evolved over the years. You know, the first national strategy was released in 2001 by the U.S. Surgeon General. And then in 2012, that strategy was revised by a task force of the Action Alliance, pulling in, you know, experts from across the field. But this 2024 national strategy was called for by the Biden-Harris administration in 2023. Yeah, 2023. And it was led by the Department of Health and Human Services with leadership from the CDC and SAMHSA, as well as, you know, collaboration from across the federal government. And so with support from the Suicide Prevention Resource Center and the Action Alliance, really bringing all those pieces together to be what it is. We also, in the early phases of the project, disseminated a national needs assessment to help gather input and feedback from across the field. And we received, I think, nearly 2,600 responses, which included, I think, 49 states, three U.S. territories, D.C., so really representing diverse geographic areas, but also, you know, diversity in terms of race and ethnicity, settings where people were working, different roles, as well as lived experiences with suicide. In addition to that, there is also a series of virtual listening sessions to gather, you know, kind of more in-depth input and have those conversations with subject matter experts, tribal leaders, young people, as well as folks with expertise by experience. So there was a lot that went into this 2024 national strategy.
How did it feel for you to be a part of it?
It was really exciting. You know, the 2012 national strategy, I think, was the very first kind of resource I put my hands on when I stepped into the field, you know, over a decade ago. And so to be involved in creating a document that might land in the hands of, you know, the next generation and really shape the future of suicide prevention was really exciting for me.
What were some of the key points or findings for the 2024?
Yeah, there was, you know, like I shared, there's a lot of feedback and inputs that went into it. And so from that, it was really important to reflect the evolution of the field. So making sure that the new and evidence-based efforts were reflected in there, as well as kind of the greater understanding we have now about the variety of factors that can influence suicide risk. So some of the new areas that are highlighted in the 2024 strategy really include, you know, the transformative power that the launch of the three-digit dialing code of 988 had, for the country in terms of the suicide and crisis lifeline, as well as the investment and crisis support infrastructure that came with that. There's also a greater reflection of the power of community-based efforts and upstream prevention, so really referring to protective factors that we can instill in communities and systems and individuals to provide, you know, greater resilience as well as promote help seeking during periods of struggle. There's a new strategic direction on health equity and the importance of addressing disparities, as well as highlighting the intersection of suicide and substance use, youth and social media, and really focusing on the need to support essential infrastructure for all of this work to happen at the state and tribal, local, and territorial levels. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention what's also very exciting with this strategy is that it's the first national strategy for suicide prevention that comes with a federal action plan for implementation. So really representing the firm commitments across the federal sector to move this plan forward. So even though the strategy remains for the full field, really that comprehensive approach at every level, having the federal action plan represent this visible commitment is a tide shift for suicide prevention that we haven't seen before.
How important is it to have a strong support system when going through a tough time?
Yeah, as humans, you know, connection is
yes.
So important. It's really our super protective factor. And support and meaningful connection can look any number of different ways for us, whether, you know, that's a caring, trusted adult for young people or a family that validates your identity and your experience, could be a welcoming faith community or a professional support network and access to responsive care. You name it. There's no right way. Support can look really different. It's also important to remember that if folks don't feel like they have a current support system in their life, there's always someone to call at 988. They're available 24/7, 365. It's confidential, it's free, and it's anonymous, and they're always there to help support folks through a tough time.
While the strategy has only been out for a short period of time, but what has the early feedback been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been exciting. I think overall, the release of a new national strategy provides, you know, a reflection point to kind of look back on the progress that we've made as a field, take stock of that, but also set the course for how far we have yet to go. So it's been a little bit of a recommitment to purpose and making the most of the window that we find ourselves in. So really creating that reflection point and an ability for folks to kind of come back together and roll up their sleeves around a common mission.
How does it feel for you to help others?
I mean, I'm incredibly proud of the work that I've done and that our member organizations do. I think being connected to that level of dedication and impact is really wonderful. But I think for me, I'm honestly humbled by the work that a lot of our community health organizations and our crisis support organizations do to support people and meet people where they're at, you know, every single day. I think it's really important work that they're doing. And so I think I often feel like those are the folks who are really deserving the kudos and the acknowledgments, and I think don't often get that because they're behind the scenes.
And you do a lot to help others, but what do you do to help your own mental health?
Oh gosh. It depends. You know, we all need different levels of support during different periods of our life or, you know, in response to different stressors or, you know, even losses that we experience. So let's say on a regular basis, for me, that means, you know, disconnecting from work, not checking email 24/7, getting outside, snuggling with my dogs, connecting with family and friends, or planning a trip or something to look forward to, but other times it really does mean having a professional to talk to and work things through or get that support that I might need needing at different times in my life. As well as like everything in between, having a treat or, stepping outside, taking a walk. It can look any number of ways.
Have you seen the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
I'm probably a bit biased within my circle since this is what I talk about, day in, day out. But when I look back of what it was like when I started in suicide prevention, a decade ago, I really do think there has been a shift. Not only in people's, willingness to acknowledge mental health and its importance to our overall well-being and talk about it, especially after the pandemic. But I think there's also been a shift within the field of suicide prevention, recognizing that, suicide and despair is not just a mental health issue. It's a community issue that goes beyond, mental health and really relates to a lot of the areas, in society and community, whether that's, financial stability and connectedness and relationships or even systemic disparities and inequalities. It all impacts, kind of the conversation.
Well, what you just worked on is a big thing, but looking ahead, where do you want to see your mission in the next 3 to 5 years?
Gosh, well, so as a steward of the national strategy and, the independent public-private partnership that the Action Alliance is, the Alliance has committed to both help move the strategy forward, ensuring alignment across the public and private sectors, but also help to track national progress and accountability for success in terms of, what are quantifiable goals to drive progress in these high priority areas of the 2024 national strategy. We've also kind of set our course for the next 3 years with some additional strategic priorities to focus on, pulling our partners together around. So some of those are around, data surveillance and research, really making sure that we have the best, quality information to guide the field, continuing to build out the crisis care continuum beyond, someone to call, but we also want to make sure that there's people who can respond in community with mobile response, as well as places where folks can go to stabilize during and after a crisis and really kind of prepare to step back into community. There's also some continuing priorities that the Action Alliance has around healthcare transformation. So, really focusing on, implementation of best practices. That we know from the science and from the evidence that are really critical to saving lives, but we haven't seen the wide-scale adoption that you might expect. When there's really proven strategies that we know work, there's a little bit of a disconnect to getting them into, systems of care. And then the final one kind of goes back to what we were just talking about, which is really around messaging and communication. So making sure that all of our partners are aligned in terms of messaging, and that we're sharing the right information to help catalyze change, and also making sure that our leaders have information and talking points so that we're all talking about suicide in the same way, because that really matters. It can shape a dialogue of shock and despair and crisis. Or it can provide, hope and strength and connect folks with stories of recovery, and connection and resilience. For example, most folks don't know or don't realize that over 90% of folks who survive a suicide attempt do not go on to die by suicide. And I think that's an incredibly hopeful statistic that is often buried and kind of not top of mind. And so we really want to make sure that we're empowering the field with tools to create an open door for the conversation, and create that sense of hope, and possibility.
How can people reach out and learn more?
Yeah, so there is a few ways. So if folks are interested in learning more about the Action Alliance or the work of our members, they can go to theactionalliance.org. Everything's online these days.
Yes.
If folks are interested specifically in learning more about 988, also online, 988lifeline.org. If folks really want to get their hands on the full national strategy and that federal action plan, that's available at hhs.gov/NSSP because we love acronyms. But there's a lot of information out there. So those are just a few ways.